Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
The outcry of the poor. We're able to define the word poor last week. We did item 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Tonight we look at number 7. What are some of the benefits of taking care of the poor that providence has positioned around the gate of your life? That's what we want to look at tonight. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to you in Jesus' name. Let's turn to Psalm 41. Psalm 41. Where's the mic? So let's consider some of the benefits of taking care of the poor from these passages. Psalm 41 verses 1 to 3. Let's all read together again. The Lord delivers him. Verse 2. Verse 3. So let's go back to 1 and start taking it one by one. The first benefit of having regard for the weak, taking care of the poor in that passage is what? Deliverance in times of what? Trouble. All of us agree that there are times of trouble, isn't it? In your journey in life, there are moments of trouble. And one of the things that God will use to deliver you at such times is not just your prayer, but what you have done for the poor before that time. Hallelujah. The next question I want to ask is, what is deliverance? And who needs deliverance? What is deliverance? What is deliverance? Salvation. Okay? To be rescued. To be saved. To be set free. Praise the Lord. Who needs deliverance? Who needs deliverance? Who needs deliverance? Who is answering? In front.
People who are kidnapped or the captives.
People who have been kidnapped need deliverance. Is that not so?
Yes.
You will not be kidnapped in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you've been kidnapped, you will know that what she's saying is true. Who needs deliverance? There's somewhere I'm going. Because there's a theology that says that once you are born again, you don't need deliverance. You have been delivered. Yes, sir. So it's a Christian in bondage. That's another way to look at it. It's a child of God in bondage. And because of that, he now needs what? Deliverance. We need to strike that balance. It's possible. How am I?
When you allow sin to come in, that is tendency, you have opened the door for the enemy to come in, and you have problem. So you might be living in bondage for that.
Okay.
Because we are Christians does not mean that we are sinless.
Yeah. Dick Nesima.
A Christian can need deliverance when he or she is not, when he or she is ignorant of the blessings of God in his life. Okay. I mean, you can have some money in the bank, but you do not know that that money is there. So, and you just keep living as if you don't have money.
Ignorance.
Okay. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Yeah.
A Christian needs deliverance when he's tempted.
Deliverance from temptation.
Yes.
Okay, let's take one more comment, Brozito.
Jesus told Peter that Satan wants to deceive you, but I have prayed for you. Meaning, even when you are born again, Satan could still be prowling around, trying to harm you or attack you. So you need deliverance so that Satan does not
get it. So the question is, what was Peter's sin in that context that Jesus
had?
What was the sin that Peter committed that made him to need deliverance in that passage?
Somebody should.
The same Peter was locked up in prison, isn't it? To be killed after Easter. What was the sin that Peter committed that made Herod to lock him up?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, sir. And deliverance is what is required by every Christian. Anybody that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ requires deliverance every day of our life, as far as there is existence of the devil. Now, what Peter said to the Lord that made the Lord rebuke Peter? Peter said to him, when the Lord was telling Peter that before the crow will crow three times, you will deny me three times. Peter now said to the Lord, that far be it from me. That was why I rebuked Peter, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want us to know that it's not necessarily because of sin that you are under attack. Are you following now? And it's not necessarily because of sin that you need what? Deliverance. As a child of God, the devil is your number one enemy, and he will do everything possible to do what? To bring you down. So I think he's the one that said it. Every child of God needs what? Deliverance on a daily basis. Let's read Matthew chapter 6 and see what the Lord himself taught us to do. Matthew chapter 6. In the Lord's Prayer, what did he say? Deliver us from what? From the evil one. 6:13. Deliver us from the evil one. Who is the evil one? The devil. And the same Jesus will tell us that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. For every day there's an amount of evil that the devil has packaged. Not necessarily for his children, but for the believers. So how do you escape? By prayer. And one other way to escape is what we are learning tonight. Giving to the poor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the first benefit of taking care of the poor in Psalm 41 verse 1 is that God will deliver you in the time of trouble. And that is why I believe tonight that as many of us that came to the altar, God has responded to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 2. What is in verse 2? The Lord will protect him and preserve his life. Those are 2 points. So let's take it one by one. What is protection? Start now. To shield. Okay? What is protection? To build a wall around. To keep safe. Praise the Lord. So as a child of God who is committed to taking care of the poor, God will keep you what? Keep you safe. He will shield you. He will protect you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At the end of this teaching, I want some of us to give testimonies to attest to what we are teaching tonight. How what you did to help somebody brought you deliverance, brought you protection. The next benefit is what? Divine preservation. And what does it mean to preserve? It means to care for, to feed, to maintain, upkeep. I'm hearing to set aside. Hallelujah. This is connected to longevity. That God will preserve you. You know, on Sunday we are reading a passage from Acts chapter 9. I think we should look at it again. About a sister, Dorcas, that untimely death came and picked her. And the disciples, what did they do? Instead of taking her straight to the cemetery, what did they do? They washed her, kept her on the bed, and sent for the man of God. I thought when they sent for Peter to come, Peter was to come and conduct burial. But before he came, all the widows carry evidence. And Peter came under God. It was as if everyone said, no, this one cannot die yet. This one cannot come home yet. There are still many lives she will impact if we give her the opportunity. And before you know it, Dorcas came back to life. There are some of us, if you die now, and in the church, we are trying to open your casket. Some people will rise and say, what are you trying to do? Hope you are not planning to pray that person back to life. They will protest. Because while you are here, what have you done? There should be granted, I mean, given a second chance. Dorcas was given an opportunity of longevity because she took care of the poor. Psalm 41 was the next verse. Are we in verse 3 already? Verse 2. We are not done with verse 2 still. blessing where? In the land. Which land? In the land of the living. Which land? I wish you said that. Let me hear you. Give her the mic.
Nigeria.
God will bless you in the land of Nigeria. So it doesn't mean that you have to relocate before God can bless you. Even in Nigeria, as tough as it may be, God will do what? Will bless you. Can you say it to yourself? God will bless me in this land. God will bless me in Nigeria. Hallelujah. And how do you access that blessing? By taking care of the poor. Still in that verse 2, we see something that connects protection. And it's important we look at it, we discuss it. And not surrender him to what? What does that mean? Negative expectations of men. Yes. His enemies.
The desire of his foes means God will deliver. He knows those, his enemies, that don't want him to move on in life. Mm. And so he will deliver him from those foes, from
Hallelujah.
Those his enemies.
He will not surrender. What does it mean for God to surrender a man? What does it mean? To give the enemy chance. To give the enemy opportunity. Say, yeah, you can go ahead. So why would God do such to a man? Because he neglected taking care of what? The need when he's supposed to. How many of us have enemies here? Praise the Lord. What is the plan of our enemy? What is the desires of our enemies? To bless us. Give us supernatural help. Our enemies have desires. Part of their desire for some of us is that, no, 2019, you must not enter it. But God will not surrender you to the desire of your enemies. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are serious issues, isn't it? Critical issues that you don't need to struggle, you don't need to fight, you don't need to do whatever. Just follow simple biblical principles. And you see God fighting on your behalf. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Can we read verse 3 together? What does this mean? How many of us have been sick before? Praise the Lord. How many of us would like to be sick tomorrow? But let me ask you, can sickness come? So when sickness comes, what is the remedy? Medical science, Abi? As good as our medical science are improvement every day, have you also discovered that the sicknesses are getting wiser? Have you discovered? So the whole teammate is who? God Almighty. And one way to escape it, when the time of sickness comes, for God to intervene in your case, could be what you have done to the poor. God said, I will sustain him on the sick bed. In other words, no matter the gravity of that affliction, I will do what? I will sustain him. He will not die. I will restore him from the bed of what? Of illness. So what you are doing today is an investment for tomorrow. Don't trivialize it. Hallelujah. Now let's run through some other verses. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. Where's the quiet? Let me give the mic to somebody around you that would like to read for us. Proverbs 19, 17. Let's take other benefits of taking care of the poor.
Yeah. Proverbs 19, verse 17. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done.
So what is the benefit there? There's a reward. Hallelujah. Amen. And the reward can come in diverse ways. The way it will come, where it will come, how it will come, you don't know. But there's an assurance that God will do what? Will reward you for taking care of the poor. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 21, verse 13. Proverbs 21, verse 13. Who is reading for us? Proverbs 21, 13.
If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered.
First of all, what does it mean to shut one's ear to the cry of the poor?
Indifference to the need of others.
Indifference.
That is, if you refuse to respond positively when somebody is in need, you have shut your ears to the cry of that person.
You are indifferent. So I think that grammar is still big. Let's break it down.
When you don't care about other people's needs.
You don't care about their needs. You look the other way.
Turning your back on them.
Turning your back on them.
Refusing to answer them when they are asking for help.
Did you hear that? Refusing to do what? Answer them when they are doing what?
In need of help.
Asking for help. How many of us, you know you have been guilty of that? Some time ago. People come to you for help and you know that you can do something. But because of some reason, you just said, no, I won't help this person. By the time the person leaves, your heart begins to tell you you didn't do well. Ikin Abimbola, are you saying something, sir? Many are what? Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
Needs and overindulgence.
How do we draw a line between meeting needs and overindulgence? That's a question for us. How do you? I think the key issue there is discernment. Because what you also think sometimes is overindulgence may not be. But there are also people that want to take advantage of us. So the bottom line is for you to walk in the spirit. Let God guide you as to when to give, whom to give, how to give, when to give, when not to give. So we need the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. Any addition? Are you raising your hand or your arm?
Mine is a question, actually. So I have this money or this amount of money, which is what I'm meant to use to eat tomorrow. And then someone comes to me today and he or she needs to feed. I mean, the person is really hungry. I feel led to give to the person, but then it means that I will go hungry tomorrow. So can I
The simple apply? Truth that you cannot go hungry tomorrow.
But the Bible says I shouldn't worry about what I'll eat tomorrow and that.
You are quoting scripture now. Praise the Lord. If truly is the Lord that is leading you to give that last thing for that to that person, you can be sure that something bigger is coming your way. God is faithful. And I'm sure many of us here, you have experienced the faithfulness of God in this type of situation. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. We have not finished study. Questions are already coming. Okay.
So we're talking about ignoring the poor in times of need, when they are in need. I also want to raise this again, sir. It's not only the poor that need something. Even the rich also need something. Because the poor can also ignore the rich when they need them. Because it's not only money. It's not only food. There are lots of things that they might need from the poor person.
Yeah.
Even a time companion, visitation. You know, for instance, a rich man cooks food for a program and then nobody comes to eat. Even the poor man is not there to eat the food. You know, they humiliated the rich man.
Yeah.
And if your car breaks down and then they will say, you are rich man, push it yourself. They can't even help you. It happens severally.
Yeah, you know, in our definition of the poor last week, we said a poor person is what? A needy person. That's to suggest to you that every one of us needs something, needs someone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So back to that Proverbs 21, 23. We are trying to explain it. What does it mean to shut your ears? And that has been defined. The Bible now says, he too will do what? Cry out and not be answered both by God and by men. Is that a good situation to find yourself? That you're in trouble, nobody is there to respond. The benefit of giving to the poor in this passage is divine response. God sees that you have been attending to the poor in your own hour of need. As you are crying to God, what is he doing also? He's responding to you. Because he knows that you will never close your ears to the cry of needy people around you. Hallelujah. 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 One of the reasons that made us to accept the call to our first pastorate is this scripture. As I was running up in the seminary, my wife got what they call U.S. lottery visa. And we were torn between going to Port Harcourt and going to America. Today I will pray. I say, God, what is your will? What is your will? I'm going to Port Harcourt. Next tomorrow, when I remember, America, comfort, comfort in America. So we are vacillating like this. Worse still, I went to the church that called us. The first day I got to the church, I said, God, my own don't finish. If this is the place I'm coming to serve God straight from the seminary, it wasn't food, it's Ready Baptist Church. Work is plenty here. Baptist Church. All that they had then was what they called a fowl house, a building with corrugated iron sheet, no fence around the church. It was the last building on that street. Everywhere was bush. Population about 70-something. And they told me again, Pastor, we don't keep our pastors here. Every pastor that comes must run away. And now the devil is dangling U.S. visa lottery and obedience to the call. And as I began to study and pray, one day the Lord took me to Acts chapter 16. Begin to hear the cry of the man of Macedonia. Come over to Macedonia and help us. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And I came across this scripture. If you close your ears to the cry of the poor, you also will cry, and I will not answer you. Thank God, eventually we obeyed the Lord. And God showed us favor. It's a glorious moment. But 20 years of ministry in that place was just like a day. God changed the story. Can you hear me touch your neighbors to your right, to your left tonight? Don't close your ears. To your neighbors, cry. The other question I want to ask is, must they cry before we do something? I'm hearing no. No. Let me give my sister microphone. She's protesting on behalf of the poor. Just wait for the mic.
No, you don't have, no, they don't have to cry before you help.
Why?
You have to be sensitive.
Did you hear that word? Be what?
Be sensitive.
Sensitive. What else do we need to do? Be observant. Even in the church. Be what? Observant. You see a brother, a sister, the same dress every Sunday, every Wednesday, and you think that it's a fruit of the Spirit. Something is wrong. Praise the Lord. Let's take Mr. Ajibade, then we'll go to my Sunday school teacher.
I think they can still cry. Why do I say that? At times you can see somebody dressed properly with a good makeup and everything.
But at the same time.
And then that person might be feeling
hurting inside.
Hurting. And then he's the only one who knows where the shoe pinches. Not until you come over and say, "Ah, Sister Edna, I'm having this problem. Don't mind all this makeup and other things like that. That is just like window dressing." So if the person cry out, that's a way of crying out by telling the person what you are going through.
Yeah.
So then the person can look into it.
It's good to cry out. And when you need to cry out, brother, cry out. Amen. Especially amongst your brothers. They were saying, must they cry out before we take care of them? Let's take Deacon Ray's arm first. They will come to chief there. And we said they don't need to. We should be sensitive. We should be observant.
Well, I believe that Solomon was guided by the Holy Spirit because the poor can be very arrogant at times. So if you want to help somebody who doesn't cry for help, you could be the one who will be nursing, nursing the hurt. So I think there may be need to. Also, there are so many needs all around us, wherever you turn, especially with the way politicians have turned this country upside down. So the ones who cry most are the ones you likely to devote your limited resources to help. Mm. Because you don't have the resources to help everybody, even all around you.
Hallelujah. Yeah, let's take Chief at the back.
Well, they said Jesus was going about doing good. First of all, we also have to go out at times to go and look for the poor. Because at times, most of the people that surround us, they are not that poor, they are not that in needy. You find out that the real poor, when you give them 20,000 naira, it may be what they will use to sustain. Like some of the people think they are poor, they are even surrounding you. They don't allow us.
It's even too much.
So,
I said 20,000 is big money for some people.
That is one. Number two, there is also a mistake we make. Today, we are talking of miscreants on the road, this and the road. These things are caused by us. Because deep down from the Bible, we are supposed to be our brother's keepers, a kinsman redeemer. We have abandoned even distant relatives from our villages who are poor, and today their children have become miscreants. So indirectly, we have turned them to miscreants because naturally, there is no woman. I've never seen a woman who's pregnant. When they check, they say this one is going to be a miscreant. No, because we are not behaving the way Christ behaved. We didn't go out to go and look for those who are poor to help them and lift them up. Thank you.
So we have to go out and look out for them. Praise the Lord. Let's take Stedna in front.
Yeah, sorry, sir. I just want to say that I think it's sensitivity. Because I want to give an example. Last Christmas party in the prison, one prisoner came to me and said, please, can you give me 100 naira? I said, 100 naira for what? You know, because they are up to all sort of pranks. He said, I've not had my bath. I need to buy soap. You know, we package welfare, we give soap. And I told myself, wow. But we do it quarterly. So it was then that I realized that soap was really important in the prison. So when we were packaging soap one day, we gave them soap. And I believe God sent that man to me. The man was carrying two soap. And I said, why are you taking soap too? He said, madam, all these things you gave today, this soap is the most important thing. A second time. So I think it's for us to really, you know, at times God is talking to you. That people are talking. We should listen. Because you might just brush it. But it's being sensitive to what God is trying to tell you in different circumstances. You might just miss it, but the Holy Spirit will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's take these two hands, then we'll move to the next passage.
This one is just to corroborate what they have said by way of testimony. Some time ago, okay, now, coming back to that, this sensitivity is not by sight only, it's even by faith. Because as the Holy Spirit ministers to you and you obey, it might not even be somebody that is on your line of sight immediately, physically, but somebody that the Holy Spirit is ministering to you that you should render help to. Some time ago, my wife and I decided to visit a family. And somehow the Spirit laid it in our mind that we should take rice and vegetable oil and some food items to that particular family. When we go to their house and they came down to receive us, we opened the boot of our car, we started offloading rice, vegetable oil, and some other food items. They just stood still. They were shocked. They were just looking at one another, husband and wife. Later on, they confessed that they didn't know where their next meal was going to come from. And that this morning they actually prayed that God should lead somebody to bring food for them. So it was God that led it in our heart that we should go. We didn't even know that they needed those items, but we just obeyed what the Spirit was putting in our heart. So maybe this sensitivity should extend to what the Spirit is putting in our heart.
May God make you an answer to somebody's cry today. In Jesus' name. You know, a family is praying, God, give me food, give me food, give me food. Will God come down to give them food? Whom will they use? He will use us. But when you are not sensitive, if they are rationalized, why are we going to carry food? Especially maybe the family looks, like somebody said here, they're always dressing fine, everything looks okay, but no food in the house. It takes sensitivity from the Holy Spirit to know.
Okay, so I think still on sensitivity. Now I want to move from individual sensitivity to church sensitivity. In my undergrad in Obafemi Awolowo University, there was something my local church, Aketu, did to us then, and till tomorrow I would never forget. They went, I think maybe the Sunday school team went in a bus, and then they got the names of both former members, present member, but not future members, but God list names of those people who visited. So on different days, they went to Futa, OAU, Ibadan. And so when they got to each school, they called the known ones to look for the unknown ones, you know. And then they gave us money, foodstuff, and prayed with us. Even in my room, my Muslim friend was like, when we return to Lagos, it will be my church, it will be attending. He said it jokingly, but to be honest, that little thing done by the church went a long way in the lives of all of us. So for Ikoyi Baptist Church, in our midst here, there are kids who have finished secondary school. They can never pass JAMB. Why? Because they go from they go work in a supermarket 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. There's no way they will pass JAMB. At the end of the day, they settle for part-time polytechnic. And they are amongst us in here. So as a church, we actually need to extend our sensitivity a bit beyond the conventional, you know, and go unconventional.
Thank you for that. And somebody may also take that as a ministry here. You know, you're a church member, and God has blessed you. You can decide that every year you will take care of paying the school fees, WAEC, or what you call it, for such students. That's a ministry. And you may not know the extent to which that will have helped such a person in life. Praise the Lord. Let's read Matthew 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, and pinpoint another benefit of taking care of the poor. Can we read this verse together again? So what are the benefits from this passage? Treasure in heaven. Perfection. Treasure in heaven. And follow me. Those are three things there. As I was praying this study, what another thing that the Holy Spirit whispered to my heart is that many of us have so much here on earth, but nothing up there. You have so much here on earth, but up there, nothing. So which one is important? You are not answering me again, no. Let me touch your neighbor. How much do you have here? And how much do you have up there? If you want to have treasure in heaven, one of the ways is to do what? To give to the poor. And it is only then you can be positioned correctly to follow Christ. A major reason why many Christians are not correct disciples, they cannot follow Jesus, is because of what? Of their treasure on earth. To read Bible is problem. To pray is wahala. Come for discipleship, they will rationalize. Until when something happens and they become zero, that's when they remember God. Should it be so? It shouldn't be so. I know that rich man, he couldn't do it that day. He couldn't give to the poor. The Bible says he went out sorrowing. He lost that opportunity. If Jesus had said, go and sell all you have and bring it to me, will the man do it? Will he do it? I'm sure he's likely to do it. Because he's giving it to who? To Christ. To support his ministry. And when they say, yes, who are the financiers of Christos Jesus' ministry? Say, we are one of them. Jesus knew that if he asked him to bring the money, he will bring it. He said, go and give it to the poor. Another lesson you can learn is that there are times you give to God, and there are times God wants you to give directly to who? To the poor. May the Lord help us to discern and do it right in Jesus' name. Last Sunday, we read from Nehemiah 5:19. Can we go to Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 19, and see another benefit of giving to the needy, giving to the poor, giving to the sick, giving to the oppressed. Can we read together? Remember me with favor, O my God, for all I've done for these people. So what is the benefit? I think Statola is... Give it to Statola. I see you vibrating on the chair. I hope it's not cold. Is it AC?
Remembrance.
By
God.
By God.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. What type of remembrance? For judgment or for favor?
It's for favor. Divine. Divine remembrance for favor.
Hallelujah. And we're in that season of divine remembrance with favor. Hallelujah. God will be remembering us one by one. And I can guarantee you, you won't be left out. The only people that will be left out is those who have done nothing before now. How will God not remember you? See your contribution to this edifice. You think God will forget? Was it on Saturday, a member of the church came to share with me, giving land for us to plant a church, and has also gone to meet architect and draw the plan. And when I saw the plan, I said, sir, this is too much. Let's do something small to start. He said, pastor, if I've done this for this, I've done this in secular, how can I not build for God? A story building that he's trying to put up for a church that has not even started. So I said in my heart, how will God forget this kind of man? Can you cast your mind back? Even though we don't give to God because of what we are going to get, that God is the one saying to us now, say, my son, my daughter, there's nothing you do for me that will not be rewarded. It's a season of remembrance, the Ikoyi Baptist Church. God has come to remember you with favor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While people are crying in the embankments, running up and down, as for you, you shall be remembered with favor. In the name of Jesus Christ. It's a season of remembrance with favor. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I was about stepping out this evening when this scripture just came to my heart and I started looking for it. And I believe it's for somebody. Because I know God does not speak for nothing. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Very interesting scripture. Let's read from verse 1. We are reading verses 1 and 2 actually. Verse 2 particularly, but let's take it from verse 1. Who has the mic? Who is reading for us? Give it to my brother. Yes. Yes. Read. Yes.
Ecclesiastes 11, 1. Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Give portions to seven, yes to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. Give portions to seven.
Oh. It's all right. Can you give us other translations? Either message, okay? Can we read all together now? Charity yields what? I returns. Not buying of shares alone. Okay, let's start again. Don't. I don't like that one. Tell your neighbor I reject that one. Even the audiovisual person has rejected it. He has removed it. I've not asked you to remove it. Please hold on. But the reality, brother and sister, is that this could be your last night. So if this is your last night, excuse me, can you look, what would you have left behind? If this happened to be your last night, that new shoe, sister, you just bought. The new shoe you just bought that you are planning Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is coming in November. When I knock this shoe, Ikoyi people will know that it's a year of supernatural help. Excuse me, what has happened to the shoe? Who else will wear it? If this happened to be somebody's last night, all the money you kept in the account, that you refuse to give, either to God or to man, what happens to it? Now we are talking about give us land to build church, to plant church. As the message is coming to you, say, I bind pastor. You will not get my land in Jesus' name. If this happened to be your last night, what happened to that land? Excuse me, what happened to the land? Unfortunately, maybe you didn't even keep the document where we find it. Somebody else will take it over. So the scripture says, don't hoard your goods. Spread them around. Be a blessing to others. Let's not read the last part. Let's take New Living Translation. How did he say it? Let's read together. Send your grain across the seas, and in time, profits will flow back to you. But divide your investments among many places, for you did not know what risk. NIV used the word disaster. Actually, your giving can prevent disaster. Are you following? Your giving can deliver you from what? From disaster that you don't even know is coming on the way. A lot of benefits that goes with taking care of the poor and giving generally. We've read Matthew 25 on Sunday. I think we should just read it and close with it tonight. Matthew 25. Yeah, I think somebody, a child read it for us last Wednesday. Give mic to Stamofelet, I'll read for us. Matthew 25. 31-46.
Okay. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep in his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink?
Okay, let's just stop there. There's a question I want to ask. What are some of the things we can do that Christ is appreciating in this passage? What are the specific things we can do? Can we mention them one by one from verse 35? I was hungry, and you gave me what? Something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in, and so on and so forth. So what are those things we can do? Feed the poor. Praise the Lord. Feeding the poor. What else can we do? Giving water for people to do what? To drink. Next is what? Providing what? Shelter. What else can we see in verse 36? Clothing. Visitation to the sick, either at home or in the hospital. Visit to the prison. These are specific things that God expects us to do. And I encourage you, think of what you can do in this regard between now and next week. Let that be our assignment. Do something specific in this area. You want to give clothes, you want to give food, you want to give drink, you want to visit the prisoners, you want to visit the sick, do something about this. And let it not just end within a week, let it become a lifestyle. Can we take contributions, questions, testimonies as we close tonight? Yes. As we are doing that, ushers, please go around and take our offering.
Praise the Lord.
Mine is just to encourage us about what we've had this evening. In June, was it June? No. When we were preparing for my dad's 10th year remembrance, we went home. We did whatever we wanted to do. Then it happens that the principal of the secondary school, where my dad happened to be an Oba before he died, approached us. That please, could you help us with one or two indigent students to sponsor? We said, fine, we're going to do that. So we met, and then we called the principal in to come to the meeting. And then when we spoke with him, we said, okay, how much are we even looking at? To our surprise, he said the school fees in a public school is 3,000 naira. We said, 3,000 naira? He said, yes. We said, okay, we are not even going to pay the school fees alone. We are going to buy the books. We are going to buy the uniform. We are going to buy the school bags. We are everything that the child will need for that particular year. We are going to do that. And to the glory of God, we decided to take 10 at a go. That we are going to take 10 because my father happened to be an Oba in that town. And then that when they are going to do it, whether Muslim, whether Christian, anybody that is indigent, they must put their names there. And now they've given us the names of the 10 students. And then my brothers and sisters over there will be meeting the parents next week to let them know what we are going to do. So what exactly am I saying? When we go to our villages or our towns, for those people that are there, as little as 3,000 naira or even 2,000 naira can go a long way. Because they will send them out not to sit for exam. And how much do they need? Just 3,000 naira. And when we go to KFC to buy a bucket or whatever, we spend 10,000, 15,000 at a go for a family. Whereas 2,000 or 3,000 naira, we go a long way for somebody. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Sakuya, to the extreme. Two hands.
Praise the Lord. We as Christians, one of the things I think we should be taking note of is that we're talking about the poor. People are there, they don't know the word of God. Actually, I think they are poor. So we're doing the word of God. Also, we can still go out and evangelize just like what our pastor has taught us. We can go out, tell them to the people of the word. Yeah, we can evangelize and tell them about the word of God.
Yeah. The gospel to the poor is for the poor. Thank you.
Mine is a question. This importation of people into Lagos State on the road to start to beg, what do we do about them? Are they part of the people? Because it's like they deliberately... Some of them have houses. We know their stories. But what do we do? Because I saw some people today. I was wondering, should I or shouldn't I?
That's where discernment comes in. It's not all of them that have houses. Some have genuine needs. And it will take the Holy Spirit to help us discern that and attend to their needs. Let's take Nicholas Emma.
I just want to give a short testimony to confirm the point that if we give, it can prevent disaster. A friend of mine, just close by, went to work very early in the morning. She usually, you know, does that. But on this day, they sent two hired assassins to her. And as she walked into the office, she said, these two men just followed her in. And in her hand, she had banana and, you know, a flask for tea. So she just said, this one, you people are following me so early today. Okay, sit down. And so what do I give to you? I only have this butter now and this teal. So the two men were just looking at her. She said, okay, take the banana. And they took the banana from her. So they looked at each other. And so she was wondering, what is the matter? What is it you want me to do for you this morning? Because this is like a hospital. So they just looked at each other. They said, madam, we came here to kill you this morning. And she didn't believe it. Then they brought out the gun and showed her. And she just collapsed on the chair. So they just walked out. And I think she just, you know, got up and quickly locked her office. And she did not open the door until 9 a.m. This was, you know, about 7, 8 in the morning. You know, so indeed, when you are generous, when you give, just giving, it can be anything. But Nana saved her life that day.
Hallelujah. My prayer is that God will deliver as many of us from Aradite ant. You know what Aradite ant is? Once it enters your hand, what do you call it? There's another one called Akagon. That's serious. Okay, let's take you quickly. I'm seeing.
Okay, Pastor, in case you want to, you go to buy something and you see this guy, and the guy approaches you and he asks you for money, and you have that money, but you refuse to give him. And later on, you discover he wanted to use the money to smoke. So along the lines, you are still around that area, and the guy stole money just for him to smoke. Should you, and you were feeling guilty that you didn't give him money. I don't know, is he of the devil or is he of the Holy Spirit that you were feeling guilty?
Yeah, but I've already seen that it's a secret that he wants to use. So you go home rejoicing.
But like, is it your fault that he stole the money because you refused to give him?
It's not your fault. How can it be your fault? It can't be your fault, eh? Yes, sir.
It's a question. I would like you to actually enlighten us. Now, we have been reading this thing. We have been saying this. The early churches, the way they were giving, is it the way we are giving now? Are they giving more or they are giving less? Are we giving more now or are they giving less? So that we can relate you to try to reorientate ourselves so that it won't be literally reading. Because I read something in Acts that the early church, after the Pentecostalism, Holy Spirit coming, Pentecost, that the people were bringing, selling their possessions, and they were giving in accordance to the need, that nobody has need in the church movements. So I want to know whether it was just artificial statement or it's real. And if it's real, why is the church not doing it now?
Thank you, sir. If you check question 8, that's what we're going to be dealing with next week. What are some of the lessons we can learn from the way the early church responded to the poor in their midst? Change that passage to Acts chapter 4, not chapter 5. And please, all of us should study it before we come next week, okay? But to quickly say that the way the early church gave and the way we are giving today is completely different. And we need to learn from them. Praise the Lord. Okay.
Praise God.
We come this way. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Praise God. Sir, I'm so grateful for the message. I really remember something that happens, you know, to me. The life I'm living today, it is by the grace of God, and God Almighty knows that I really, you know, have heart for Him anywhere I find myself. I have seen many dangers. You know, God still rescued me, even when we fell into the ocean. God bring me out among the rest. They were drawn. Secondly, one of my in-laws at Ajana, she was doing good mainly to the ministers of God. She normally gave to the pastors, to the men of God. And she prayed a prayer, say, Lord, he said, please, whatever I go to do for me, don't do it for me, do it for my children. And this woman has 6 children, 4 men, and 2 we are ladies. As I'm talking now, all of them in overseas, the 2 of them married white. And number 3, there was a woman in a local church. The church was in need. There was a land they wanted to buy. So they called the church, went to this woman and pleaded for money. This woman swear that she has no money. And that night, the armed robber, struck and went to this woman and not knowing that there was a money, about 1.5 million in her house. The money was taken away. The following morning, she began to cry to everybody that the armed robber came over, that stolen her money. Look at this woman. She refused to give to church. Now it was through her cry they know that he has money. Praise God. So what I'm saying that whatever you are doing for God or the good thing you are doing is not lost. That is a reward. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Last contribution. They will close tonight.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sir, my contribution is like this, sir. When the Lord Jesus commissioned the 70 disciples, he gave them a specific assignment that they should begin first in Jerusalem. What I want to say, sir, if you are talking about the poor, it is even among us in the church who have more poor people. Whatever good we are doing to the poor, it should start first with the church. The Bible said that do good, especially to those who are of the household of faith, that going about like those begging on the street. Any person that is poor, if a poor man dies that does not serve God, is going to hellfire.
Yeah.
His poverty status cannot earn him a certificate or ticket to enter the kingdom of God. He that is poor should find his way to the church where he can receive help. I will suggest that whatever help we are giving, we should give to those among us first before giving to those on the traffic. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Beautiful contribution. But let me just balance it by saying there's no hard rule to it. Give to those in the church. Give to those outside. You may not know what God wants to do to the person you are giving outside. But charity begins at home. That's the bottom line of the contribution that our brother is making. Praise the Lord. And Ikoyi Baptist Church is trying in this respect. We trust God to improve, to do better. Deacon Ebola, something is happening around that area. Before now, is it that... are you sharing with us?
Not to have diverted that money to church work.
Yeah.
That was a little...
Okay, we now understand. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.
ikoyibaptistchurch.org.